Praise God. Thank God for the reality of what we've been singing about. It's certainly not based upon us or who we are or our righteousness or anything that we can do or be in ourselves. We absolutely honor the name of Jesus and lift Him up. Well, I confess, as often the case, I have wrestled quite a bit over thoughts that I've had, and Lord, is this really you? But Lord, you're going to have to take over and help me with this one. But I'll share the thoughts that I had and just see where the Lord takes it. But I want to begin just as a launching point with a verse that we quote very often. It's in Philippians chapter 1. But I believe it sets the subject in motion. And this is where Paul is rejoicing in the believers and praying for them. And he says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, there are a lot of things that you could, a lot of truths that are embedded in that, that are implied in that. But certainly, we have the confidence that God is the one who's carrying out something, don't we? This isn't something He's left up to us to try to make it on our own strength or our own effort. That God has set something in motion and it's going to happen. Thank God. But He says He's going to carry it on to completion. That's an awesome word right there. There's something that's going to be complete, but the question is, when is what He is doing going to be complete? When is that? The day of Christ Jesus. That's a phrase that occurs in a number of places. I think early in 1 Corinthians, you get the same sense that there is a day. And we've talked about this, I guess, in the past. There's a day on God's calendar when everything that He has purposed to accomplish in this world, in His people, will be done. And it won't be done until then. There will always be things that will be needful to work in us, to prepare us for His eternal purpose that will not be complete until that day. And so we find ourselves in a place where, number one, we need to be doing what we are supposed to be doing at the moment. And then we think about this interval of time between now and that day. And I think it's pretty evident if you compare scriptures that the day He's talking about is the day that Jesus comes back. There is a day when He is coming, and as we pointed out many times, He's coming openly. He's coming with the sound of trumpets. He's coming with angels fanning out to gather God's elect. But there is a day that is happening. Now, I'm thankful the devil can't do anything about that. He can't stop it. God has set something in motion, and the devil is the one who knows far better than we do how certain that is. And the reason he is so angry, and we see it, the effects of that in our world every single day, he's angry because he knows that his time is short. Folks, there's going to be an end to all that is wrong with this world. God has it a day on His calendar, and it is coming. But so what does the devil now have to work with? Obviously, one of the things he's used to try to defeat God's people is persecution. And wherever God's people have looked to God and found the strength from Him to stand, God has helped them and taken them through. And instead of it hurting the people, it has helped them. It has set them free in a deeper way. So thank God that there's nothing the devil can do that can separate us, as Paul says in Romans 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Persecution is one of the things that he mentions there. And so that's part of the devil's tool chest to try to work, but God turns it right around and uses it for his purpose. Did he not do that when it came to the cross? Yeah, Jesus said, now is your hour, this is your hour, or the time, the hour of darkness, when darkness reigns. I'm sort of half-quoting it. But anyway, this is your hour when darkness reigns. So he allowed the devil to carry out his plans, thinking he was going to hinder what God was doing, and the devil engineered his own defeat, didn't he? And I'll tell you, everything the devil has planned For the end of the age is going to do nothing for God's people except accomplish the purpose that God has allowed it to accomplish. He doesn't want us to be afraid. He does want us to be alert and aware. But I started to say that the devil has many ways in which he has sought to hinder and to hold back God's people, to turn us aside. You look at the condition of Christendom today, what's called the Christian church. So much of it isn't really Christian to begin with. It's not really, Christ is not there. It's just become religion. But even where godly people are serving him and walking with him, there is still division, isn't there? And where is that coming from? Obviously, Satan has made it his business to inject every form of deception that he can come up with. Everything that would cause some people to say, all right, I've got it, and I'm going to build four walls around it. See, we are such that we like something that feels secure. And there are many things that cause people to think that I'm doing okay, I am what I'm supposed to be, I'm where I'm supposed to be. And for some people, it's just doctrine, isn't it? Okay, they feel like, all right, God wrote the Bible, he wrote it in English, he meant for us to understand it so we can figure it out by studying it. And then we can come up with a theology, which is basically organizing truth so that it attempts to answer every question you can raise. And once we have got that and we've written it all down, now we can just build walls around it and say, this is our security, this is where we stand, and all we're going to do is wait for Jesus to come. How many of you remember Brother Thomas warning against building four walls around where you're at? My God, that's not what God's looking for from his people. And yet, how many times people have done that and sought to find their comfort in form and in doctrine? And, of course, then you have people that, after a generation or two, that becomes so dead that now we got to do something. You got people that rise up and say, this isn't working, we got to do something. And now they're going to put human energy into it and come up with, new and interesting ways to attract the crowd and get them there. And they're going to entertain them. And, nothing new in what I'm saying, but I'm heading somewhere. So the devil tries to get in that way. And then there are people who say, this isn't right. We need more of God's power and God's presence. Well, we do. See, there's a truth in every aspect of what the devil uses. He will take truth and he'll twist it in such a way that that people get off. And so there are a lot of folks that gravitate to signs and wonders. We've got to have that. That is the evidence that we're right where we need to be and God is actually at work. We've got to see him do something. We've got to feel him do something. There's got to be that sense of his presence and his power or something is wrong. And so I can't tell you how many churches I've been in where you sit in there and what they do in the song service is just get everybody wild, round up. We got to build up a feeling. And so much of, and why is that? Because their idea of where we're supposed to be and what's supposed to be happening is defined by that emphasis on the supernatural. And yet, does that mean the supernatural is not for us today? See, there's so much imbalance. So many people will fall into this ditch and fall into that one. Because you have people out there today that will look at all of that and they'll see the things that are wrong, and many of them are. But their answer to that is, well, all of that passed away in the first century. We're not supposed to have that anymore. So if we have anything that's supernatural, it's automatically of the devil. Well, is that right? No, of course it isn't. And so, folks, we need the Lord, don't we? But anywhere we coalesce and say, all right, now we've got it, that's not a place that God has designed for us. We are not settlers. We are pilgrims on a journey from where we are now until the day of Jesus Christ. And we need to learn how to navigate that. And, you know, I appreciate so many things about Brother Thomas. He was certainly not perfect, then neither are we. But I thank God that he works with us where we're at, and he leads us. I appreciate many things about Brother Thomas, as I said, and one of them is this, that he remained open to deeper understanding of truth, didn't he? He started out as a renegade Baptist, but there was something in him that was hungry for the Lord, and he had a real calling and a gift from the Lord. Mixed in with a lot of ignorance, mixed in with a lot of the influence of religion around him, and he tended to say, if older people believe this or that, it must be so, and so I'll go along with it. And yet there he was reaching out, and if it was something where God seemed to be moving, he would get in touch with that and try to learn from it. But his views of things evolved over the years, did they not? Those of you who were here, you know. He didn't just get stuck on something. Say, all right, now I've got it, the rest of my life is going to be devoted to this. There was always that sense of being open to the Lord. And, he gravitated at one point to a lot of folks that we would have classed at the time. They were typically classed as end timers. Remember that? Okay. It all had to do with what's going to happen in the end times, meaning the end of the age in connection with the coming of Christ. And boy, has the devil done everything in his power to confuse that. And one of the things that Brother Thomas dealt with was the idea that's very popular, that focuses most of the Bible on the Jews, the natural descendants of Abraham, and believes that one of these days, the Lord is going to come and he's going to snatch every believer. They're going to disappear into thin air in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You can see where the devil will take scriptures and use them in a certain ways to portray an idea. And God's got to get us out of the way so he can go back and focus on the Jews again. And so basically the thing is, boy, you better be ready. Any moment Jesus is going to come and people are going to be snatched away, and the only evidence of that is going to be that people have just disappeared. You know, it's something I'm not going to focus on that so much. You know, we've talked about it so many times. Again, go back to what Jesus said. The two examples had God removing his people and judgment falling and everybody being left behind died. Pretty simple, isn't it? And then the openness of his coming. And so Brother Thomas, taught that idea that, you know, the rapture and all of that kind of stuff, the way it's taught. But there came a day when God brought other things to his attention. And he wasn't one to just jump at something or reject it. Wouldn't that be a good thing to do? Where we can be open but yet discerning. And just take our time and look to God and ask him for a witness. Because, number one, it's never going to go beyond the Bible. But number two, we don't have the power to understand it in ourselves. We're going to have to say, God, you're going to have to show me and bear witness. So when there's a combined witness of in my spirit of peace and rest, and I have no dog in this hunt, as the expression goes, I don't care which way it is, Lord, I'm looking to you. And if you want to show me something, you can show me. See, that's a good place to be. Well, we don't think we know everything, and we're just looking to God. And I sense that, and that was very true of him in so many ways. I'm amazed at how he was able to navigate some of the stuff that we came across. Well, of course, you've got a lot of folks who didn't like the idea of this rapture where suddenly everybody's going to disappear. To them, it sounded like defeat. Like God's put all this energy out trying to convince people to go along with his plan, and he winds up having to snatch out a few. It sounds like defeat. I'm just going to, take what I can get, and that's the end of it, and on we go. And so you had other ideas about the end times that were more like triumphalism in some form or other, where our destiny is to change the world one way or another. There's either going to be a great end-time revival. Stadiums are going to be filled with people falling on their faces and accepting Jesus. And miracles and power and signs and wonders are just going to be everywhere, and we're going to take over the world. And of course, you had the manifested sons doctrine. How many of you have been around long enough to remember that? Yeah, where the whole of creation, it's not about the coming of Christ literally in the sky, as he says he was going to, as the angel said he was going to do, but rather he's coming in his sons. He's getting a company of people ready right now. They're going to become immortal. They're going to go out and empty the hospitals and the graveyards. And, well, I'm probably overstating it, but you get the picture. God's going to change this whole creation into the kingdom of God. Well, that's not what I see in the Bible. And Brother Thomas, but you know, Brother Thomas entertained some of that at one time, didn't he? It was at least an honesty enough to consider it. But yet there came a time when more and more it just didn't feel right in his spirit. He said, boy, their emphasis is on the sons and not the son. We need to have Christ at the center in everything we do. And you see so many ways where you look at the scriptures as to what's going to take place in the end of the age. And it's not us taking over this world. It's not about an earthly kingdom at all. In fact, that was another conviction that the Lord brought him to, that he saw in scripture very plainly, and looking to God, God made it real and gave him a peaceable reaction to it. That when Christ comes, it's over. He's not going to come down and reign over a political military kingdom on earth. That's the kingdom of God is not something you can see. He said that. It's something where it's an invisible kingdom to the world. It's something that happens in the midst of the world that the world doesn't know anything about. They will. There's going to come a day when God's going to pull the curtain back. And it's coming. You know, I've used that illustration in the past about, you know, a painting. Let's say you have a master painter that's working on a painting. They don't typically show that, do they? While it's in process. But there comes a day when now it's time for the unveiling. And then there it is. It's complete. But it hasn't been shown yet. But then there's going to come a time when you take the covering off, and there is the finished product. Is that not a picture of what God has purposed to do in us? You know, John said in chapter 3, beloved, how wonderful. I'm going to turn it over there and read it. I keep trying to quote things and I'm all over the place trying to do it. Chapter 3 of 1 John. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Amazing. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. So, here we are. There's a statement of fact that we are the children of God, but there's a but there, okay? Oh, and what we will be has not yet been known, okay? So we don't really know. I mean, we're walking by faith. There is something that is very real that exists in the heart of one who is God's child. There's a brand new life there. It's growing. God is working to shape that for eternity, okay? And so we're walking with Him, and we rejoice in what's happening, but we don't see it yet, do we? But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. Again, it points to a day, doesn't it? God's going to pull back the curtain and say, this is what I have been doing. My people are not only, I mean, look at what I have done in them. Look at the change. Look at what they are. The flesh is now gone. Won't that be wonderful? Praise God. Not just the weaknesses of the physical frailties, but the nature that still lives in these bodies of flesh. We're called to live in victory over that by divine strength. But we're still there. God's still shaping what He's doing in us. And it's not done yet, but there's coming a day when it will be done. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I encountered a thought that reminded me of some messages I've heard preached, but I think this is a better application of it, shall we say. And it was a brother who was writing his little daily devotional, and he referred to something that Johnny Erickson Tada had written. How many of you remember the point being made when they built Solomon's temple? Okay? They built it out of stones, a lot of it. And those stones were dressed and shaped, were they not? Okay? But where did that happen? In the quarry. It says there was no sound of a tool where the temple was being built. All of the work had been done in the quarry, and her point was, we're in the quarry. God is building himself a temple. Does not the word say that? We are being built into a temple for God to inhabit, God to live in. And boy, I'll tell you, God is doing all of the work here, and there will come a day there won't be any tools that will be needed on any of us. We will be perfectly shaped for our particular spot in a temple that will last forever, and God will be there living in us. To God be the glory. Boy, doesn't that make you want to just say, God, do whatever you got to do. This is the time for the tools. This is the time for chipping off this and chipping off that and getting me ready, because you've got a place. You've designed that perfectly, and I'm going to be in exactly the right place at the right time. And boy, time is another factor. Remember, right before Jesus was going to heaven, the disciples asked him a question. And it wasn't time to get into theology. He didn't answer their question one way or the other. But what he said was, it's not for you to know times and seasons. Right? God has got that in his power. Oh, how many people have been out there who have tried to come up with a date when Jesus is going to come? Everyone looks like a fool in the end. Folks, God has put us in a place where we do not know the future. And so much of what Satan has done to try to confuse things has to do with the future. And I'm going to go ahead and get into this, because, like I say, we were counted among the end timers when I first came to this work. And it had to do with it. Well, let me say this first. There was a tremendous visitation. I'm not going to go into the details of it, but there was a powerful, powerful divine visitation of a miraculous revelation, you name it. It happened. It was amazing. How in the world do you navigate something like that? Again, suppose your belief system is that that's not for today. So what would you do? You just turn it back and reject it. Or suppose you were one who just loves that and thinks that that every measure of God and the things of God is that should be happening. Now you all of a sudden you're glorying in it, and you're just grabbing hold of it and jumping right in. Well, Brother Thomas didn't do either one, did he? No, he didn't. I see some of you that were there remember. Amazing to be able to navigate something like that. As he put it, we never looked for this. We never asked for it. We were just looking to the Lord and seeking him. And all of a sudden, these things started happening. So what was his reaction to that? Did he not call upon the people to pray as they never had and to seek God? Why did he do that? Lest they be deceived. Lord, is this really you? Folks, don't we need that kind of a heart toward God? There is so much deception abroad in the earth, and it has to do with religion. God, I want to be open. You can do anything that God has ever done. You can do it, Lord. But I want to know that it's really you. And there was a point where, it was almost like there was unbelief was stronger than belief. So what did he do? He prayed. He searched the Word. He determined that he was never going to be moved from the Word or from the foundation of the finished work of Christ and keeping him in the center. Well, guess what? The revelations that came were in harmony with that. There was a peaceableness about it. There was a witness. Every possible test that he could devise to prove whether this was really God or not, it was. There's no question that God revealed himself in powerful ways. And those who had visions were taught, because they were trance visions. I mean, where somebody becomes motionless and sees something before their eyes. Those who had them were taught, don't you just embrace that. Don't you just yield to that. When that starts to form, you resist the devil with all of your might, as if it were from the devil. And there were a few instances, I believe, where that actually disappeared. That took care of it. But there were other times when the revelations and the things that came were so clear and so powerful and so real and bore witness to everybody. The fruit was good. What do you do with that? You just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's a purpose in all of that. Of course, that generated a lot of sign-seeking. A whole lot of people came from all over the place to come see what God was doing. Isn't that human nature? Think about Jesus and the ministry of Jesus. There was a purpose in God performing miraculous things. He was bearing witness to who Jesus was and what he was about. You could say that of the early church, the very beginning. God was bearing a testimony. He was authenticating the covenant that was coming. But how many people were just gravitating to the signs and wonders and making that the center? But they didn't want the message. They didn't want the messenger once the message came out. And you, how many of you are aware that there came a time in Brother Thomas's ministry where he was looking at all of the things that had happened and the things that were to some degree continuing to happen, but seeing the bad side of it, that is the fruit of people coming and not really wanting the truth, just coming because there were miracles happening? He actually asked the Lord to stop it. Now it's quiet. How many realize that there was a time when God, when he asked the Lord to withdraw a lot of this? We've continued to see some things over the years, but that's not the center, and it never was. It doesn't ever need to be the center. God can do that in seasons. We had a message a while back about seasons and how you can't make something. We're so gravitating to the idea that once something happens that we approve of, we think that's the way it's supposed to be. And if it's not, something's wrong. And so we left that season and went into other seasons. And we've had to deal with issues and deal with things and grow and learn. But isn't that the way it is with the people of God? Are we supposed to spend our whole journey on the mountain glorying and wonderful feelings and things? Or do we need sometimes to be down in the valley? And we need as a people to be able to walk wherever the Lord takes us, to go through whatever season there is. But there are so many voices out there. I hear them today that are so geared up to some of the things that we entertained at one time. There are a lot of people, you know, there's a truth, there's a Bible truth in what we used to call the fivefold ministry. Those ministries and those gifts really were given by God. But there are a lot of people out there in Christendom who really have abused that idea. And they've turned the fivefold ministry into this high-blown bunch of people who give dictates from God, and everybody else is supposed to just sit there and, you know, shut up and listen. I'm over-characterizing it a little bit, but that's really the spirit behind a lot of it. Boy, if God gives gifts, they're to be servants to the body of Christ. They're not elevated into some high-blown place. Think about Peter, who wrote as a fellow elder. Wrote to the elders as a fellow elder. He didn't say, I'm an apostle, you got to listen to me. Don't you dare question anything I say, or touch not God's anointed. You know, used to hear things like that. And I tell you, God, like I say, I'm amazed that God brought Brother Thomas through as cleanly as he did. But there was always that sense, even where we entertained things, that we would look back and say, well, we've outgrown some of those ideas. There was still a heart that wanted God to the point where he was willing to learn and willing to grow. Don't we need that? And there were, I've mentioned this before, and I'm not going to go into the details, but, you know, I distinctly remember the Sunday when we were still living down in Lake City, and he came to church and he shared with us a truth. It was not the center of things. It wasn't the matter of Christ and Him crucified or anything like that, but it was an issue that theologians deal with. And he had been praying and seeking God about the issue for some time. So it wasn't something he entertained it, but he didn't jump. There was a sense of just waiting on God and saying, God, I don't care, which is it? Which way is it? What's the truth here? And the Lord brought him to a place of rest about that. And so he came to the point where he had the faith to share it. Well, another thing I really appreciate about Brother Thomas is that he didn't demand that everybody listen to him, just shut up and agree. He trusted God to reveal truth. And it was one of these things where I found it interesting, but with my background, I could think of a lot of questions I could raise. And so my position, the position I took, I believe it was the right one, said, Lord, I don't know if this is true or not. It's the same thing Brother Thomas took. I don't know if this is true or not. And again, I don't have any dog in this hunt, Lord. Whichever way it is fine with me, because I know You'll do what's right. So, Lord, I am going to lay this at Your feet. Yeah. Brother Thomas used to call that putting it on the shelf, which is another way to say the same thing. I'm going to lay this down before You. If You want to show me, You can. But I'm not going to worry about it. I'm simply going to look to You and trust You to show me what the deal is with this in Your time. And meantime, Brother Thomas wasn't putting any pressure on me at all. He wasn't expecting me to say, He said it, therefore it must be so, and I got to agree. No, he wanted God to lead every one of us. That's what we need. I don't ever, ever want people to say, Brother Phil said it, so it must be so. Shut up. God, help me. I don't need blind followers. We need Jesus. He is the only one who's able and willing to lead us. I need Him. Folks, one of the things that Paul said in one of his letters was, he who thinks he knows a thing, what? Knows nothing as he ought to. We are in a position where we do not have the answers to every question. And I'll finish this, that particular what I started there was, there came a day when I was in a private conversation with Brother Thomas. We were still living in a mobile home at that time, just a short distance from the church. And he was in his office, and he made a couple of casual comments that had to do with the subject. But again, there was no pressure. It was just something he had thought about and had seen. And the light went on. And I had this amazing sense of God's presence and just a quickening of my mind was just racing, collecting scriptures, and it just connected the dots for me, and I had a perfect rest. And between then and walking to my house, it absolutely came clear, and I saw it. Isn't that what we need, folks? We need hearts that simply say, God, I don't know about many questions. I am not demanding that You answer all of my questions. I remember a brother one time asking me about a particular passage in Revelation, and I think he was expecting me to expound it, and I said, I don't have any idea. I don't have the answer to every question. I don't need the answer to every question. I'm a child growing up, walking by faith, but I got somebody who does know the answer and is able to give me the answer when I need it. Everything that God wants us to know, He can unfold as we need to know it. What the Lord showed us in the visitation, we took and ran with it in a lot of ways, and we baked into it a lot of the ideas for this end timer movement. And so we had a picture of the perfect church and the restoration of the church and all the great things we were going to be doing. I pray God will do some of those things. I don't know. But I'll share something else I remember from Brother Thomas. And this was years later. There were several of us, as best I remember, we were sitting around in his house. and just talking about this and that. And Brother Thomas made the comment, because I wonder if a lot of the things we used to preach are going to happen on the other side. See, even he wasn't married to every little idea he'd ever expounded. Folks, we need to have hearts that are free from all the constraints of pride, of thinking we have the answer to everything, of me and my church. I know a lot of people listening to us then would have concluded that we think we're the only ones. Well, Brother Thomas never thought that. Nor are we, thank God. But I'll tell you what, we need to have, the place we're at right now is a different place than we were then. I don't know what God has. Is he going to come in great powerful ways? Yeah, maybe. Is that the measure of what where we need to be? Is that what God is looking for? Is something wrong if we're not seeing power and miracles every day, every time we come together? Is something wrong? But can God do that if he wants to? Yes, there's got to be an openness both ways. But I'll tell you one thing. We need to be praying that God will give us wisdom and discernment. I'll go back to the visitation and Brother Thomas's earnest prayer that God help us to navigate this, to know what's of you and what's not. Lord, we're going to stick to the basics, stick to the Word, trust the witness of God's Spirit. But we don't know. Lord, you're going to have to show us and show us what this means. And I know a lot of ideas developed out of that. I remember coming and people saying, oh, it's not going to be more than 5 years. Well, that was 55 years ago. So, and Brother Thomas had this absolute expectation in his own mind. I'm going to live to see the coming of Christ. Well, did he? No, it's going on 19 years. But I'll tell you, and a lot of other people have had the same conviction. Folks, we do not know the times or the dates, do we? We don't know. Do we need to know? We need to look to God and trust Him. You know, if we had nothing but miracles and signs and wonders, what would that do? What did it do when it happened here the first time? What was the fruit of that? Yes, there was a lot of positive things. No question about that. The power of the anointing that was on the ministry at the time was just unparalleled. But there was a lot of other kind of fruit too. And I have to confess, I think about that at times. I think, on the one hand, Lord, you can take these crazy little hands here. You could do anything because, though I don't have any power, you do. Maybe I need to be your hand. And then there's that part of me that says, oh yeah, but if we start seeing miracles, everybody's going to come running. The Lord knows how to do things and when. How many times have we heard accounts of God breaking into an area? And it's an area that's been a satanic stronghold. And one of the miracles that gets performed is somebody being raised from the dead. Brother Kumar gave us two examples from his own ministry when he was here last year. And Brother Jim and I were over there in India on our first visit, and we visited in the home, the family compound of a man who had been raised from the dead in front of his whole village. Now, why did God do that? Was God saying, this is how it's supposed to be? Nobody's supposed to die. Obviously not. But God was bearing witness to the power of and the truth of the gospel. In every case, God has a purpose in giving a sign or performing a miracle. It's a witness to the truth. I know God can heal. I've got a lot of questions in my own mind about that. I know God can heal, but I've encountered people who think it's never God's will for us to ever get sick. Well, and then on the other hand, that's all passed away with we're just going to go to the doctor. There's got to be a place in the middle where we can seek God and see Him work when it's His purpose to do it. Paul traveled at one point with a fellow minister called Trophimus. and they passed through a city called Miletum. I think it was somewhere in Greece or Asia or somewhere. And he mentions Trophimus. And how many of you remember what he mentioned, what he said about him at the end of one of his letters? He said, Trophimus, have I left at Miletum sick? Whoa. This is Paul the apostle. What's the matter? What's going on? Is Paul, is he backslid? Or did God have some different kind of purpose going on in this particular situation? Folks, we want to make a religion out of everything that appeals to us. It appeals to our mind, appeals to our emotions. People will build a religion about it and say, I've got it, I've got it. Folks, I don't got it. He's got me. That's what we need. We need God to have us and to know that we have, that's the one we need to have. We just hold on to Him and we look to Him. But there is a tremendous need for us to walk with the Lord. And how I think Brother Thomas was right when he came to the point where he said, we used to teach a lot of things about the perfection of the church and all of these things that we're supposed to see, and the years went by, and we dealt with this issue and dealt with that one. And he starts honestly looking and saying, well, maybe we went overboard in some of the details of our teaching. Do you think? I mean, do we just blindly say, well, Brother Thomas said it, everything he said was perfect? Well, we know better than that. Did not Brother Thomas emphasize frequently the verse from Proverbs 4, the path of the just is as what? The shining light that shines more and more when? Unto what? The perfect day. Now, that was the King James Version which he used. But that's the truth. God is not going to unlock every secret. I quoted what he told the disciples. It's not for you to know the times or seasons. What about what he told Daniel? Revealed great things to Daniel, and Daniel's asking questions about it. He says, close the book. It's sealed till the time of the end. You go your way. You'll go to your rest, and then you'll rise at the appropriate time. God had a plan for Daniel. And I believe that God's plan for us is to look to Him. We can proclaim all the glorious things that are about to happen. Boy, that's one thing I see in this so-called prophetic movement that's out there today. I want to be open to anything that's really from God, but most of it just sounds the same as all my whole life I've been listening to people. And it's just this carrot being dangled out in front of God's people. All the great things that are about to happen. Oh, heaven is releasing a new this or that or the other. It's just on and on and on with all the things that God is about to do. Just wait. Get ready. I'll tell you, the things that God needs to do are things in here. He needs to take us down to the quarry and do some chipping, shaping, getting us ready. He's doing it. He's doing it. We can rest in Him. We're never in a place where we can just sit back. And of course, you can't take that verse in Philippians that He's going to do the work and just say, okay, I can go to sleep. There's a place that we participate in Him. We've talked about that many times. But there's always got to be that sense that He's still got things to do. I took note of that verse many years ago. It doesn't say that I'm persuaded that let me look at it. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until you die. It's not what it says, is it? Till the day of Jesus Christ. What does that tell you about people that have already died? There's still something going on. Now, they're not having to overcome the flesh because the flesh is gone. They've died and put that in a grave. But there are still things that people don't know and don't understand. I believe with all my heart God's people are being taught on the other side. Just as we need to have our ears open and our hearts tuned to hear what God would say to among His people. I want to be ready if there's a powerful revival if we suddenly go around the world. I don't know. But I also want to be ready if we just see the world get darker and we're just mainly looking to God and taking our stand and what Jesus said. We're enduring to the end. I don't care if God hasn't told me his plan or his schedule. Has he anybody here? And that's okay. That's all right, because that's the way it's supposed to be. I don't need to have a closed off doctrinal statement about every little detail. That's, you know, God used that to get me out of the movement that I grew up in. They absolutely had a statement based on the teachings of the founder, who was a man of God. No question about it. But he steadfastly believed in a millennial kingdom to come. Now, they didn't worry about whether I took the rapture view or it was all going to happen in one event. But I would have had to sign that. Sue and I would have had to have signed that to go on with on the track we were on. Well, God used that because that was one of the issues. I sat there and I prayed about it. I read. I said, Lord, what's the answer to this? I know what Brother Thomas has come to believe. Is that really right? I was open either way. I had never really considered the question, and God gave me a perfect rest and a peace to see it in here, to feel it, to sense it in my spirit, to see it in the wisdom and the revelation that others had had. I had a perfect rest about it. Well, that determined that we couldn't stay on the track we were on, and God used that. But folks, we need that same kind of openness today. Satan is going to do everything in his power to distract us, to turn us this way or that way. But we are very much like the people in the wilderness. What was their job? To follow the cloud? If the cloud and the fire by night camped, they camped. There was a season where this is where you're supposed to be. And then there came a day, now it's time to move. We're going to a different place. I don't know what all the Lord has planned for us, but I don't want to ever sit back and build a religion on Brother Thomas, and don't you ever build one on me if the time goes on. There's one that you need to look to always. It's Jesus, the head of the church. He is here. He is active. And we can seek his presence without trying to demand signs and wonders. But if he wants to do that, we need to be open. We also need to be seeking God and saying, God, we don't want anything that isn't from you. Jesus warned his people about lying signs and wonders. There would be such great signs and wonders that God's people, if it were possible, would be deceived. Folks, we need the Lord. There's never going to come a time when we're going to just be able to say, our religion is all established. We've got what we need. All we can do is just come and practice it, defend our beliefs, argue against everybody else, and we've got what we need and we're good till Jesus comes. We need to be pilgrim people looking to the head of our church to be the active head in his presence, to be with us every day. And I thought about, praise God, I'm amazed I got through as much as I did. Thank the Lord. But anyway, listen to what Paul says on this subject, because right down from this part about his confidence that God was going to carry on to completion till the day of Jesus Christ, in verse 9 he says, and this is my prayer. I wonder what his prayer would be in the light of what he had said, that there is an ongoing work. It's not going to be done. It will be done, but it will not be done until that day. He'll take the curtain back and say, this is what I've been doing. This is my prayer. What? That your love may abound more and more. All right, so love has got to be the center. Got to be the motivation for everything. Love may abound more and more, but how? In knowledge and depth of insight. Stuff we don't know, places in our journey we haven't been, things we haven't learned. How do you learn? I mean, kind of got to go through things, don't we? We've got to be able to say, I've been there and I've done that, and the Lord's helped me. But even there, you can't make a pattern, build a religion on anything that's happened. We're going to have to continue to walk with the Lord and have him reveal himself and his heart toward us and everything. All right, so you may be able, well, let's see, more in knowledge and depth of insight. Now, why? So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for what? The day of Christ. So Paul is talking about where we are, how we're supposed to be in light of what God is doing, and with a confidence that God's going to do his part. Our job is just to walk with him. It's not to build a religion. It's not to get stuck and build walls and try to find some visible experiential way of feeling secure. Our security is going to have to be walking with him, believing in his power to reveal himself, and trusting him to put the flag on things that are deceptions from the enemy. There's plenty of them around. I don't just jump because someone performs a miracle. The devil can do that, but so can the Lord. I don't want to jump in the other ditch. God can do anything. We just need to him. But boy, when we encounter anything, we used to have people come and visit us all the time, trying to expound their ideas and trying to, you know, this is what you need, this is what you need, this is the way you ought to go. And in every case, we just had to look to the Lord and say, well, Lord, you show us. And you could see where the brother was heading off the track into the wilderness. God is willing to lead us if we're willing to be led. Amen. He is faithful who promised. What a simple prayer that Paul prays, and I believe it's one that he would pray by extension for every one of us. God is going to take us through, and whatever we need to experience of God's kingdom, we can experience it, and we can cry out and say, God, keep us from ever being deceived. I want to be open. I want to be discerning. You've got to have both sides of that coin to have what we need. So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Praise God, isn't he faithful? Do you sense what he wants for us? I had the privilege of speaking. I tried every way I could to get out of it, but I had the privilege of speaking briefly at Brother Thomas's 85th birthday celebration. And it was mostly a memorial, but the Lord helped me to just very supernaturally gave me thoughts that had to do not with the past, but with the future. And showed me the picture of a relay race where, you know, one runner runs the first leg of the race, hands the baton within a certain period of time, a very prescribed way, to the second runner, who takes it and runs his leg. And the race is not just one runner, is it? The race that we've been called to run is not just Brother Thomas. It's not just me. It's not just anybody. We need Christ. We don't need to stop and build a memorial to the first leg, which I don't think we have. But you understand what I'm saying. We always need to realize that the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. That means if time goes by and my generation passes off the scene, don't you sit there and build a wall around everything that I said or Brother Thomas said. Don't you cast it off either. But what I mean is, let's just always lay things at the Lord's feet. That's what Brother Thomas did over the years. He had to encounter many, many new ideas. And there's some of them he entertained and finally said, no, that's not right. God will help us to navigate the course that he has laid out for us. From day to day, individually, corporately, God will teach us. He can bring forth gifts of the Spirit. He can do all of those things. Let's ask him for whatever he wants. Lord, we don't want to have the dog in the hunt in this thing. We don't want to have just you conform to our religious ideas. We want you to come and do whatever it is that you want to do. And we're trusting you with whatever happens. You will give us the wisdom and the discernment to walk with you and to trust in you. Brother Thomas was able to navigate an amazing visitation and still come out of it with with a balance and keeping this in the center. I pray that God will help us. I know He will. Isn't that what He promised? Is that what we want? You willing to pray with me that God will give us, lead us down every path He wants, will give us the wisdom and the discernment that we need and the love for one another, and we'll be okay. I don't have to have the answer to every question. I know somebody who does. I'm like a little child. I've got parents that know what they're doing, and I need to trust them. They can get me to grandma's house just fine. The Lord is so faithful, isn't He? I just praise Him. What a simple truth that so many people run off in so many directions, and then they build their walls. And all He's done to do is divide us. And I'm not going to try to come up with some doctrine that says, oh, it's all going to be straightened out here in this world. I'll tell you where it's going to finally be straightened out is on that day when He shows up. And all of a sudden, the flesh is gone. We're changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And Jesus speaks in one place about the righteous shining like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Only God can do that. And that's my hope and my prayer right today, that He will lead us unerringly down the path until that day. However long that may be, whatever happens between now and then. And He is faithful who promised, is He not? To Him be the glory. I guess I never did give any kind of a title to this. I don't know if this is a good one or not, but I thought about stay tuned. You know what that means? That we don't know all that, we don't know everything, but we can stay tuned to Him. If that's our focus, we can look to Him and He can show us everything we need to know. And all I need to do is just walk with Him and He will lead me down the path that He has for me. The minute we stop doing that and we get distracted and are off somewhere else or latch on to some idea and run with it that didn't come from Him, that's going to get in the way. I want Him, and I believe you do too. So let's just stay tuned and look to the Lord. Praise God.